This is the Diamond Hogs Podcast with Mason Choate and Robert Stewart.
Welcome to the Diamond Hogs Podcast. I'm your host, Mason Choate, joined as always by my very good friend, Robert Stewart, and we are going to recap a wonderful weekend in Arlington, Texas for us and for the Arkansas baseball team, aside from Friday night against Kansas State, but we'll talk about that. The Razorbacks also have picked up a midweek win over Grambling. The bats finally got going for a little bit, so we're going to talk about that. We got to preview the series against Charlotte this weekend in Fayetteville. So it's a 10-game homestand. One of them against Grambling has already been played. So the Hogs are going to be back home, and then you start SEC play at Ole Miss. So things are moving a little fast, Robert. We're already 8 games into the season, and the Razorbacks are 7-1. That's the record, and you've moved up to number 4 in the D1 baseball top 25. So that's where things stand as of now going into the Charlotte series.
Yeah, how about that? Moved up in the rankings, actually. I wasn't all that impressed by what I saw in Arlington last weekend, but I guess the Virginia Cavaliers had a tougher week than the Razorbacks did. So UVA falls out of the top 5, and the SEC now has the 4 best teams in the country and 6 of the top 8. So
yeah,
what's new, right?
Well, it's interesting because, you know, really just the one game Arkansas lost over the weekend and all season was against Kansas State, which entering the weekend was 1-4. We talked about it on this podcast. And then they go and they're the only team that went undefeated at the college baseball series at Globe Life Field because they knocked off TCU on Sunday night.
I didn't pay attention to that final score. I was wondering how that went. That's fascinating. I remember sitting there thinking, wouldn't it be hilarious if Kansas State went 3-0 after we said they were the worst team in the field, and Michigan, arguably the best of the way they played, went 0-3. Lo and behold, that's how it went.
Yep. So that is that's how it went for the other three teams. But Arkansas, so you lose to Kansas State on Friday night, 3-2. Another game where we're walking away from it, and it felt exactly like how at like what the past two or three seasons have ended in the postseason. And so that was tough to walk away from the Kansas State game and just feel confident, I guess. But then you beat TCU in another close game, 2-1, and then another close game on Sunday, Michigan, 8-6, which it shouldn't have been that close. It was 8-1 at one point. But you know, they get it done, and then against Grambling, you know, seven inning run rule game, did what you're supposed to against a team like Grambling. So, Robert, your overall takeaways from the weekend. Let's get into that because we've mentioned, you know, season 5 of the podcast, only doing one episode a week. We're not going to do game by game, inning by inning recaps. We're kind of going to do more of a bigger picture overall takeaways thing because we got 4 games to break down and then 3 games to preview on this episode. So, overall takeaways from the weekend, Robert.
I mean, starting pitching was probably the best thing to hit on here, right? Gabe Gackel. You know, you heard Dave Van Horn say it after the game, didn't have his best stuff. And yet for the line he had, you know, he gave the Hogs a chance to win. He should have picked up a win in that game based on, you know, the 7 hits that Arkansas strung together, except they didn't really string them together. Right. They just had them. It was only the one inning that had 2 solo home runs from the Aloy brothers. It was a preview of lousy hitting to come for 18 innings, right? It was tough to watch them lose a game that they probably should have won, much like the Kansas State game in last year's regional. But I guess it was nice to see them win a very similar game the next night against TCU. Takeaway there is Zach Root looks incredible, man. 10 strikeouts in what, 5 innings? A couple of walks, a couple of hits, just 1 run allowed. Didn't get the win though because Arkansas didn't score until a couple innings after he was out of the game. A couple of walks from Maxwell and Iredale end up scoring on a Kendall Diggs double. Oh, no, not Kendall Diggs. He was pinch hit for by Kuhio Aloy. Kuhio Aloy, man, he looks good. And we'll hit on him more when we get to Grambling. But 4 hits, I think Brett Dolan said 107 exit velocity was the softest hit ball he had. Kuhio Aloy looks really good, man. I don't know how you're going to keep him out of the lineup moving forward because, you know, I know he's a bit of a defensive question mark, but boy, does he look good with the bat. You know, Beidelschies comes in that game, throws or gets 8 outs, and then Christian Fausch finishes it off. little shaky from Fauch. Didn't have all of his pitches working, but he got it done with the fastball and the fastball only. That's what Dave Van Horn made it sound like. So, TCU, good squad. That's well documented, right? They were number 22 this weekend. Maybe fell a little bit. Haven't checked after they went 1-2, but pitching gets it done. You only gave up three, or you only gave up four hits. I guess defense was kind of shaky this weekend. There were a couple of errors in the TCU game, and then a couple more in the Michigan game. You go up 8-1, you're feeling pretty good, and then boy, it was just painful as Michigan kept drawing closer and closer. You think, you're only a few runs away from being able to wrap it up early. The would-be tying run finishes the game stranded at second base. So, Gage Wood, I guess, is the big story from Sunday. Apparent injury, leaving after just two innings. Bullpen really pieces it together. Carter, Gibler, McIntyre, Fisher, Wiggins, Coyle, McGuire, a lot of action in the final seven innings of that one. Taking advantage of errors, right? It was funny. We talked about Kansas State making the most errors, and they played clean defense, ended up beating Arkansas. Michigan had the fewest errors going in. They make the most costly errors that the Hogs take advantage of. So the lesson for me is don't put too much stock into the first week, because it was kind of regression to the mean for everybody in terms of Arkansas's opponents. I didn't see too much different, I don't think, than what we saw in the Washington State series. Pitching was strong again, and the bats were not. But then bring Grambling into the picture, and you got 14 on the board. Wrap it up after seven innings. So.
I want to go back and kind of look at some of these lineups that they went with over the weekend. So on Friday, excuse me, on Friday against Kansas State, we saw Rocco Pepi get the start at first base. You mentioned Cujillo Aloy at DH. And then really the only other position that we need to focus on is Nolan Sousa at second base. Worth noting, Kendall Diggs was in right field with Cujillo Aloy DHing. And no Logan Maxwell in this lineup. So Rocco Pepi, a struggle for him on Friday, and then eventually Cam Kojal comes in and does a little
Massive
bit of
pinch hit.
does a little bit of a better job there. He had a double on the pinch hit, and so that earned him the start on Saturday against TCU. So Kojal got the start at first, which was something we hadn't seen before. We knew he had been working over at first, but he got the start at first base, and then we saw the freshman Gabe Frazier at second base, which was very surprising. We were not at all expecting that. And he looked all right, but he had the error that DVH said he shouldn't have tried to do a double play. He should have just taken one out and called it good. But he's a freshman. It was his first ever start. It was a big league ballpark. That's a tough position for him to be in. So
It's
not
the
gonna.
second most attended college game in that park's history, right?
Yeah. So it's tough to put a lot of stock into that or judge Gabe Frazier based off of that one game. What else happened? We saw Justin Thomas in center field this game, which has been a good move. Charles
Yeah,
Davalon.
it does look like that's going to be a permanent switch after the Grambling game, right? Didn't change too much in the midweek when they got home.
Yeah. Davalon to left, and then we saw Diggs in right again. Logan Maxwell did DH this game, and he did run when he got a walk, so that was noteworthy because he
Yeah,
hadn't.
that was a question mark going in, right? Because he had something with his hamstring going on.
He had not really been running at all. And then let's see, against Michigan on Sunday, the lineup we saw Maxwell was DHing again, Kojal at first again. They did bring Sousa back at second base. What else happened? I think that was pretty much it. Zane Becker got in and played a little bit in this game as well. Man, Zane Becker, you want to talk about biggest surprises on this team so far? Zane Becker is one of them.
Yeah, catcher was a fascinating breakdown in terms of stat lines, right? Helfrich goes 1-for-10 through 2.5 games, up big in the Michigan game, decided to make a switch, and Zane Becker gets in and matches his hit total. So, he does look good. Yeah, and he was a hometown kid too, right? Flower Mound, Texas, in the Metroplex. So, Good for him to be able to play in front of some home fans.
Yep. So overall, a successful weekend for the Razorbacks. I do want to mention the Kirk Sarloo story. We got to mention that.
Oh yeah, that was hilarious.
We were on the field post game for the Michigan game, and Kirk Sarloo and TCU were getting ready to warm up against for their game against Kansas State, and we're standing there, a group of us getting ready to interview Dave Van Horn, and Kirk Sarloo walks up to us. And he's like, "Are y'all Hogpen?" And I mean, like, obviously that's a weird question to ask, because Hogpen is like a place, not a people. And we were like, "No, we're not Hogpen. Hogpen's like right or left field at Baum Walker."
Also, usually preceded by the word the.
Yeah. And so he's like, "Well, somebody named Hogpen was emailing me accusing us of cheating." And we were like, "That's not us, man. It's probably the group of people out in the outfield." And he was like, "Well, y'all can ask Logan Maxwell if we've been cheating. We haven't been cheating," or something along the lines of that. And he was pretty fired up. Like, he was gonna come at us if we were Hogpen. But thank goodness we were not Hogpen.
Mean, he had a smile on his face the whole time, which. I don't know if he was too worked up about it, but yeah, if we had been Hogpen, who knows where that conversation would have gone.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's not like he was gonna, berate us or anything, but I think that he feels very adamantly that they did not cheat. But if we want to get into the specifics of Arkansas and TCU baseball, at the very least, Hagen Smith was tipping pitches in the 2023 Fayetteville Regional. We can all agree on that.
Yeah.
Okay.
I would just be happy about having gone into Arkansas and won a regional on the way to a World Series if I were TCU, but alas.
Yeah. Okay. Before we move on this podcast, I want to remind you about hogbeat.com, HAWGBEAT.com, the Rivals website covering your Arkansas Razorbacks. I'm the publisher. We got a lot of great stuff over there, a lot of Arkansas baseball coverage, the best Arkansas baseball coverage you'll find, and then also plenty of basketball stuff as the Hoop Hogs trying to make the NCAA tournament, Robert, trying to make our lives a lot harder. But good for Razorback fans. Obviously, an NCAA tournament run is a lot of fun. So they got that going on, and then the baseball team in full swing of things right now. So check us out. Give us a shot. A lot of free content. If you were on hogbeat.com on Tuesday night, you got the up-to-the-minute updates on Gage Wood and his shoulder injury, which we can get into now. So let's do that, Robert. I have a story on it. On hogbeat.com, the shoulder injury for Gage Wood. We have the latest on it. He got the MRI. Are you ready for the results?
I am ready for the results.
Okay. Sounds like it was a overall good MRI as far as no tears in there. DVH said that it was an impingement of some sort that will have to be rehabbed and they have to get the swelling down. Dave Van Horn said what he had mentioned to him was maybe the quickest they would see Gage Wood back is 3 weeks. The longest, if everything goes good, would be 5 to 6 weeks. MRI did not show any tears or any damage from what Dave Van Horn has been told. They just got to get the inflammation down. He said, knowing Gage, it'll be shorter than longer because it's hard to outwork him. Also worth noting, so a little context, Gage Wood pitched the first 2 innings of the Michigan game on Sunday, came out for warm-up pitches prior to the third inning, and the shoulder just was not feeling right, and so he decided to exit the game. They pulled him from the game, and seemed more precautionary than anything at the time. And after testing, this is where we're at. He struck out 6 of the 10 batters he faced before the injury. From what I was told, maybe he was rubbing his arm or something before he went back out for the third. I don't know that for a fact, but there's a chance that he was feeling something before he went back out to the third for the third, but Dave Van Horn did say before the game, coming into the game, there was no concern of anything prior being wrong with Gage. So it's probably something that happened during the game against Michigan, and that's where we're at with it.
Yeah, I was just looking at the calendar there. If he were to take a full 6 weeks to get healthy there, that would put him on track for a week 5 return of the 10-week SEC slate. So, if that's worst case scenario, you got to feel really good about that. And As many people as we talked to in Arlington were like, man, I really want to see Bidalgi start. This is
Yeah.
exactly why you have four bona fide starters, right?
You hate it
Luke
for
Voit.
Gage Wood, but you look at it and you're like, one, it's an opportunity for Landon Bidalcheese, but two, yeah, you're in a great position because you have Landon Bidalcheese. Not every team has that to fall back on where you have another guy that some people think might be better than the guy who was starting. So we'll see exactly how Landon Bidalcheese looks. Completely different pitcher, obviously. Gage righty, loves the fastball. Bidalcheese lefty. He's kind of got like a war chest of different things that he likes to use. He'll throw it all. So, if you look at the 3 weeks though, which could be the earliest, roughly, you could. I mean, if he pushes it, Ole Miss series. If he pushes it, like if they just feel really good about it, Ole Miss series, I think.
And that's opening weekend, right?
That is for SEC play, March 14th, 15th, and 16th. So that Sunday, I think, would be 3 weeks on the dot from the Michigan game. But I think more realistic would be the week after that, the South Carolina series, which is also going to be at home too. So I don't know how much that helps if like you have an injury and then you're coming back from it, if like it helps to be at home. But
Probably more days in the training facility that week in the comfort of your own home.
yeah. So Gage Wood, a guy who's supposed to be in your starting rotation, if he's not, he could be a closer. You just want to have this guy healthy. And so I think this is something that's it's happened early enough in the season. It doesn't seem super serious enough. They can really be patient with him. You think back to 2 years ago, what there was that one game when Cody Frank got hurt and Brady Tiger got hurt, and it just felt it was just rough. And you were already without Jackson Wiggins from the preseason injury. And so those things were starting to stack on top of each other. Heaven forbid anything else happens. If it's just Gage Wood, then you still feel like you're in a pretty decent spot right now as far as the pitching staff goes.
Yeah, without a doubt. And you got to figure if you're one of Gackle, Root, and Bidalcheese, you're like trying super hard while Gage is out to make sure that Gage doesn't get his job back, right? You want to stay in the rotation, and make Gage prove that he's, ready to take somebody's job back.
Yeah. Okay. Let's get into this Grambling game. You cool with that? Anything else to add on the Gage Wood stuff?
I mean, do we want to talk about like overall numbers from the weekend?
Yes. Do you have those?
Yeah, I've got the spreadsheet up.
Let's
I
see.
mean, some pretty ugly stat lines from an offensive perspective. The exception being Vahiva Aloy, who was 6 for 11 with a couple home runs, 3 RBIs, and 4 runs. I think he was SEC Player of the Week. Is that right?
He co-SEC Player of the Week.
Of
The
course.
here's something for the Razorback fans listening to this podcast. When the team puts out that a player is Player of the Week, just go check and make sure that they're not co, because Vaheva Aloy was co. They're never going to put the co. The university won't, because why would they? So he was a co-Player of the Week.
Gotta go to the SEC for that information, right? Kendall Diggs feel like he swung the bat a little bit better. 3 for 10 was the second had the second most hits on the weekend for the Hogs. Like we said, Kuyo Aloy only got 5 at-bats, but hits in 2 of them. One of them was a 117-mile-an-hour home run, just one of the hardest hit balls I've ever bore witness to. That's the kind of thing that you see Giancarlo Stanton and Shohei Ohtani and nobody else doing at the next level. Granted, metal bats versus wood bats, right? But that's impressive stuff, man.
Kuhio Aloy's got that Stantonian power.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, it is kind of disappointing if you just want to be real that you only had two players with at least three hits. That's kind of tough.
Yeah. Davalon, Iredale, Kuyo Aloy, Cam Kojal, were the guys with two. But yeah, it was just overall a rough weekend. Couldn't really do anything in terms of hits with runners on. Feels like there were just one in both of the first two games. 1 for 14 in the Kansas State game with runners on base, 1 for 8 in the TCU game. And then Michigan was definitely a little bit better in that regard. Yeah, 4 for 18, but still, that's only batting 222. So, gotta figure out how to improve in terms of timely hitting, I would say.
Yeah. You hate to see 18 strikeouts combined between Helfrich, Souza, and Thomas on the weekend. Or not 18. I'm sorry. I did my math wrong there. That is 9 plus
13.
4, 13. Still, 13's a lot.
Yeah, I mean that's your bottom third of the order, right? I mean, you need some more production there. Justin Thomas Jr. definitely had a better weekend the first week. Ended up hitting a home run against Grambling, right? And as did Ryder Helfrich. They went back to back. That was nice. But yeah, you gotta have a little bit more production at the bottom of the order for sure.
Yeah. Let's go ahead and transition to that Grambling game. So the Razorbacks run rule them 14 to 3. 14 runs on 14 hits for the Razorbacks, Robert. Arkansas also left 12 runners on base in this one. 8 of your 14 hits were with runners in scoring position. So that was good to see. You got to see some arms you needed to see. Ben Bibee started it. Colin Fisher threw an inning. Aiden Jimenez got in. Freshman Steele Eaves, who they really like. And then Carson Wiggins redeemed himself in the top of the seventh. So a lot of good things, but I texted you and I think we have officially found the second college baseball team that I could play for. I mean, how many of us listening and part of this podcast could pitch for Grambling State, dude?
I'm starting to think it's your dream to pitch for a black and gold team in the SWAC.
Yeah. It I just I don't know, man. When those dudes are out there and you got some of them that are only topping out at like 77, 78, it's like I can go out there and give you 70, coach. I can pump in 70.
There's that, and then there's also the fact that they walked 10 batters and 6 trips to the plate, so.
It was the game was definitely dragging on a little bit because of the Grambling pitching. Also, I'm so tired of this Grambling thing. Is it Grambling or Grambling State?
It's Grambling State.
So why can't it just only be Grambling State?
I don't know. It sometimes, schools just call themselves whatever they want to. Like Louisiana Lafayette, that's another one.
Little Rock.
Yeah, right. That's still that's one that I call UALR because, well, I'm a nerd and I use the AP style book and what it calls teams, and those are three examples right there, right? Grambling State, UALR, and what was the other one we mentioned?
Louisiana
Louisiana
Lafayette.
Lafayette. But they go by Louisiana, right? They feel like they're too good for a city like ULM or something. I don't, it's not the flagship university. That would be Louisiana State,
Yeah.
right?
Yes.
It doesn't make sense to me.
Anyways, so the Razorbacks obviously get the job done in this game. The lineup, for the most part, looked like the starters, though. And I didn't necessarily expect to see that. We did not see Kendall Diggs, but we did see Kuhio Aloy get the start at DH again. Rocco Pepi was back at first base. Nolan Souza at second.
Logan Maxwell in the outfield.
Logan Maxwell in the outfield was one that was notable. So that, and DVH said after the game that he wasn't necessarily 100% healthy, but they just needed to get him out there. And he did mention like sometimes it can help a guy to just run in and out of the dugout, go out on the field, just helps him mentally even when he gets to the plate. So
And reviewing my scorebook, that's literally all he did. I don't think I wrote nine a single time on the Grambling scorecard. So
yeah.
some good cardio for Mr. Maxwell and Wright.
Only 4 hits for Grambling, so not a ton of opportunity. I will say,
Same number of hits that Kuhio Aloy had.
right, that's crazy. All of them over 100 miles an hour. Grambling did have their leadoff hitter, Martavius Thomas, out of Camden, Arkansas, once committed to the Razorbacks. Not 100% sure how committable the offer was, but it was good to see him playing. He got a hit, an RBI
RBI
knock in this
double.
one. Yeah. So, anyways, 14 hits. You mentioned it with the home runs from Helfrich and Thomas. Those were the first home runs from Razorbacks not named Aloy or Brent Iredale.
Man, I mean, like, that's tough to hear, right? After 6 games or 7 games, doesn't inspire a whole lot of confidence, but at the same time, it's early. I'm not gonna get too worked up about it.
And it was your 8 and 9 hole hitters going back to back in the same inning too, both of them to the left field, both of them 400 plus foot knocks. It was good to see.
Yeah.
And go ahead.
Really, really well struck balls. And I suppose, like, there should be disclaimers on the past 2 weekends, right? It was freezing in Fayetteville opening weekend, and then you're playing at a cavernous big league ballpark week two. So maybe pump the brakes, talking to myself there on being concerned about it.
Yeah, it was like 74 degrees, I think, at first pitch in Fayetteville on Tuesday.
That's magnificent.
The weather was incredible. It was great. I didn't go to the ballpark, which I'm disappointed that I wasn't there, but sometimes we got to do what we got to do. On the mound for this Razorback team, Ben Bibee goes 3 innings in the start. I just don't know if Ben Bibee is going to be exactly what we thought he was going to be as a freshman. But what you're going to get out of him at the very least is you're going to have a solid midweek starter who's going to give you minimum 3 to 4 innings, won't give up hopefully more than 2 runs, 3 runs an outing. And I think that's all you can ask for.
Right. He, if I recall correctly, he start a weekend game as a freshman against Alabama, maybe. Definitely an SEC team.
I think he did.
So,
Somebody might have been hurt, though. I don't remember.
well, for sure. I don't think they were just giving him the start just to give him the start. But that and him being a midweek starter, you know that he can eat up some innings for you, right? If things fall apart as they did in 2023, when we talked about, right, you just lose Frank and Tiger within days of each other. If things devolve like that, then you can go to Ben Bibee if you need to, right? It's just depth. The key to most championships is having a rock solid pitching staff and hot bats at the right time, but. If the pitching staff's solid all year and you can run Bibee out in a midweek game and get 3 or 4 innings at a time, you can also expect to get that if you need it on weekends when it matters.
Yeah. The two other right-handers that we did see on Tuesday that we did not see over the weekend, Aiden Jimenez, the transfer from Oregon State, gave up 1 earned on 2 hits, walked 1, struck out 1, faced 6 batters in his 1 inning. Steele Eaves, the freshman out of Lone Oak, he goes an inning. He struggled a little bit. So what he I think he had a strikeout and then gave up a hit or something. Or hit a
Strike out,
batter.
walk, fly out. So yeah, I mean he had a runner at first and then gave up a couple of 2 out hits. Martavius Thomas with that RBI double. If I'm
No, I think
actually
that's a different end.
that was Jimenez. Just
Okay.
kidding. It was an infield hit, a hit batter, a wild pitch, and a ground out to Eaves, the pitcher.
And that ground out came after a Hobbs mound visit, and then I believe he finished with a strikeout.
Correct.
So that was, I do think that they like Steele Eaves. So that's a name to keep in the back of your mind moving forward. Got a little bit of the nerves out for him. Got his first 2 strikeouts. It was good to see from him. And then Carson Wiggins, we mentioned it. That's the Carson Wiggins you need to see, not who you saw against, what game was it? Was it the Michigan game?
It was the Michigan game. He faced what, two batters, gave up a hit, a walk, and there was a 2-0 count. Parker Coyle came in, got a strikeout, gave up a sac fly. So Wiggins was charged with a run. But yeah, and what did Dave tell us about at that after the game? Right, like they just never see that from him.
Yeah.
It was a bit of a surprise. So like you're if you're talking about the Carson Wiggins experience, it is more accurately reflected in what you saw on Tuesday than Sunday.
Yeah. Let's do a couple of stat updates here before we get into previewing the Charlotte series. So, leading your Arkansas Razorbacks in hits through 8 games, Vahava Aloy, 11 hits. He's got 7 RBI. Tied for the team lead with his brother Cujillo for 3 home runs. So that's going to be a little fun battle
Yeah.
between them two.
1291 OPS will play.
Only 4 Razorbacks hitting above 300 right now. Justin Thomas, one of them. He's hitting exactly 300. Vahevo Aloy hitting 393. Brent Iredale hitting 400. And Kuhio Aloy hitting 563 right now. He's
Yeah,
got
9 for 16 is pretty good. I don't know how you keep his bat out of the lineup.
9 for 16, and 6 of those 9 hits. 3 of them are a double or doubles, 3 of them home runs. So
And that makes him your team leader in OPS at 1963.
wow. Okay. Here we go. Who Nolan Souza, man. He's 1 for 17 with 10 strikeouts. Yikes.
Yeah, I
Who
mean,
else?
Cam Kozel, expect to see more of him.
Cam Kozel, 5 for 18, 3 doubles. He's driven in a run. Iredale leads your team with 10 RBI. So, pitching, who leads him in strikeouts right now? Root, he's got 18 strikeouts. Wood had 13 before the injury.
I think
What
it should
else?
also be mentioned that the Moneyball guy is leading the team in walks with 9.
Oh, Justin Thomas Jr. Okay, let's do this. OBP Davalon is at 378. Justin Thomas Jr. 533. So, I think we made the right call.
Yeah.
I think we made the right call. Justin Thomas Jr. also leads the team with 2 stolen bases so far. Hogs are 7 for 11 on stolen bases. All right. Let's get into the Charlotte series, Robert. Before we do, as always, let's remind you about hogbeat.com, HAWGBEAT.com. You know about it, the Rivals website. Just type it in, either HAWGBEAT.com or just arkansas.rivals.com, and you will have a lot of fun. If you're a Razorback fan, it is a fun website to just go through, click on the stories, read the stories, check out the press conferences. Check out our message board. It's a great community over there. It's less than $10 a month to subscribe, less than $100 a year, which if you do the yearly subscription, then you're really saving some money on that monthly cost. So give us an opportunity. We do a great job. We do a lot of good work, free content, but also a lot of premium content that we're putting some extra work into on the side. So thank you to everybody who supports us at hogbeat.com. Robert, tell us about this Charlotte team that is going to be coming to the Ville on Friday.
So one more quick note on starters, and then I will get into what I briefly researched on the 49ers before this podcast started. Gabe Gackel and Zach Root and Landon Beidelschies, your projected starters for the foreseeable future, all have sub-2 ERAs so far. Okay, moving on. We are going to talk about what I think will be the UNC Charlotte rotation. That's another one of those schools. They call themselves Charlotte. It's UNC Charlotte.
Didn't know that.
Okay, so there's that for you. Looks like 3 righties they're gonna throw based on who they have thrown the past 2 weekends. They are all transfers. Mike Sturma is the Friday guy, came from D2 Southern Connecticut State, I believe. Blake Gillespie is your Saturday guy, came from UGA. I did look. He did not throw against the Razorbacks in 2023, which I believe was the last time they played the Bulldogs. And then Andrew Cribbs is going to be your Sunday starter. And I think he is a JUCO transfer. Cleveland State, CC. It sounds like JUCO. Let's see here. Mike Sturma threw 6 innings, 1-run ball against Northeastern the first week, and then kind of got shelled last week against Old Dominion. 6 earned on 7 hits in just an inning and a third. No strikeouts in that game, so not really sure what to see from Sturma. Blake Gillespie, your Saturday guy, has gone, let's see, into or through 5 and then into the 6th. In his 2 starts, give up 3 and 4 earned runs respectively. And then Andrew Cribbs. Okay, so Northeastern, their first series, they played a doubleheader Friday, and that was it. They had the rubber match was canceled, I think, due to weather. So Andrew Cribbs, only looking at his weekend start against Old Dominion last week, went 4 2/3, gave up a couple of earned runs, 8 strikeouts to 2 walks. So, I don't know if there's much to take away from those numbers yet. All righties on the bump, so I would expect to see a bunch of left-handed bats wherever possible in the order for Arkansas.
Yeah. Just reading a little bit about Charlotte here on D1 Baseball. Last year, first losing season for head coach Robert Woodard in his 4-year tenure. And he overhauled the roster. So 14 transfers brought in from the portal.
That would definitely explain why all three starting pitchers are transfers.
Yeah. Another 9 from the JUCO ranks. They also brought in 4 freshmen. Did you mention this guy, Connor Mariniak? Mariniak?
No, I haven't gotten to batters yet.
Okay, go ahead. I'll let you get to him first, but before you do, just disclaimer, he was the D3 National Player of the Year last year.
Oh,
So
how about
I
that?
don't know how he's doing this year, but he was great last year.
I will tell you that the only thing I looked at were starting pitchers so far. So if you got notes on the batters, go ahead.
No, I don't have their season stats pulled up. I was hoping you would do that.
I do. I can put it in the document real quick so you can check it out.
I got it here
I
actually.
the biggest thing here, Bryce Dawson looks like the leader in batting average at 357. I see Noah Furcht, Logan Poteet, and Carson Bain with 2 home runs each. They're only home runs, so doesn't look like a super powerful team. Don't see anybody with an OPS higher than 935. That'd be Cody Gunderson. I quick look. This is, live reaction to the stats I'm seeing. I expect the Razorback pitching staff to dominate this weekend.
Yeah. Just a little background on some of these guys. Carson Baines is a returning player, or Baines, excuse me. He hit 13 home runs last year for Charlotte. So we mentioned Connor Mariniak, who hit 345 last year, 13 homers in the D3 division. What's he hitting? He's hitting 125 right now. He's got 3 hits and 24 at bats, so that's not great.
Yeah, they're hitting 226 as a team.
Yikes.
They're slugging 350, not great. And OBP is 361. So not really an impressive offensive team by any means.
Yeah. Logan Poteet is a guy who's got 2 home runs though, 7 RBI. He's a transfer from Vandy. So that's an SEC guy on this team. So it seems like a team that this coach kind of brought in a lot of guys, and I'm sure it's going to take a little bit for this Charlotte team to get things to click. Because that's, I mean, Arkansas brought in a lot of new faces, but 14 transfers, 9 JUCO guys, and 4 freshmen. That's like over half your roster.
Yeah, I mean that's why they are where they are, right? And on that note about team batting average, right? Arkansas's pitchers are allowing opponents to hit just 214. So I bet that both of those figures go down after this weekend.
So, anything else to add about this Charlotte team, Mr. Stewart?
Looks like a 3.74 team ERA. Feels pretty solid from a pitching perspective. Just looking at some other arms here. Joseph Taylor has 3 appearances, thrown 9 innings, and not given up an earned run. 18 strikeouts, so 18 K per nine, really good.
Yeah.
To 7 walks. I guess, if they are not going to start one of the three guys that I mentioned already, he is probably a pretty good candidate. Hasn't started yet this year, but wouldn't be surprised to see him in a mid to long relief role either. Adam Stanton is another name to look out for. He's appeared in 5 games so far. Kind of high with a 4.7 ERA, but somehow his whip is only 0.65. So not quite sure how those numbers add up, but he's thrown 7 2/3 innings in relief. So a couple of names maybe to expect out of the bullpen.
Yeah.
That's all I got really.
So it's going
Looks
to be
like a pretty good fielding team as well. 989 on the whole, so maybe they'll play some clean defense.
It'll be a 3 p.m. first pitch Friday, 2 p.m. Saturday, and noon on Sunday at Baumwalker Stadium in Fayetteville.
More
Robert,
nice weather on tap this weekend.
I don't know. I'm actually going to be out of town this weekend. If you're going to pick a series, the Charlotte one is not bad.
That's true.
Looking like Friday, high of 67, low of 39. Saturday, high of 55, low of 37. In Sunday, high of 57, low of 31, looking like it's going to be cloudy on Sunday.
Sounds better than opening weekend to me.
Yeah. Way better than opening weekend because they're not going to hopefully have to change any of the scheduling. Okay, let's knock out some random stuff here and there before we close out this episode of the podcast.
We need an update on the Missouri spread tracker.
That is one thing. Before we get to that, though, let's make the people wait because I know they're excited about it. I'm excited about it. Did you see that Stetson in Florida last night? Stetson protested like the result of the game because they had a there's a play at first, and I just saw a screenshot from it, and I'm kind of going through this live right now. Stetson appeared to tie the game in the seventh inning. But Florida challenges and replay officials ruled he only touched the white part of first base and didn't touch the orange safety bag. The run was taken off the board. Florida maintained its 2-1 lead. Stetson was livid. Stetson played the remainder of the game under protest. The NCAA can look at the result and void the game if Stetson doesn't come back and win. I need to see the result of this game. I didn't see what happened. Have you ever seen anything like that happen?
No, I mean, I'll have to watch the play to I've heard of people playing games under protest. It happens like once every 5 years, I feel like.
Florida won 6-1. I there's a I saw a screenshot of it where, but I wasn't thinking about the two bases. The ball was not even close to in the first baseman's glove when he was touching first base, but I didn't pay attention to which base he was touching because I still don't think about that yet.
I see.
Anyways, I thought that was notable. I thought that was very interesting. Florida obviously wins. So the Gators 8-0 to start this season. You remember last year when they just lost every midweek?
Yes, I do remember that.
So now that might be Texas A&M, Robert, because the Aggies, who by the way, are going to be without Gavin Grochowiak, who is
Oh,
I
that's a
think
big loss.
yeah, so that is a big loss. I'm pretty sure
For how long?
I think he's done for the year.
Wow.
Per Tex Aggs. I'm sorry, I don't have the exact details pulled up of what the injury was, but the Aggies 5-2 and they've lost two in a row. So they lost on Sunday to Cal Poly and then they lost Tuesday night to Texas State.
Texas State. How about the guys from San Marcos getting it done?
So maybe Jim Schlossnagel was the glue holding everything together down there in Bryan College Station, Robert.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, he didn't take many players with him over to Austin, so
Yeah. We'll see. What's Texas's record? Are they ranked? Yeah, 15. Texas 6-1. Who's their loss to? They lost opening day to Louisville. And then they played that game against Ole Miss that you talked about that was kind of weird.
right.
Swept Dartmouth over the weekend and shut out Incarnate Word on Tuesday night. All right.
That first weekend of theirs, I believe, was in Arlington as well, right?
Yep, it was. Oh, we should mention, just out of respect, LSU did lose a baseball game to Omaha. So
Right.
that's
Right. We
pretty
were
sad.
watching that one at the ballpark on Saturday before the Arkansas game.
Yeah, so LSU lost on Saturday to Omaha 5-4. Almost brought it back. They were down 5-0 in the entering the bottom of the ninth and almost came back, but the Tigers go down. But we all understand that that's just baseball. Arkansas lost to Kansas State, but it wasn't Omaha. Sure as heck wasn't Omaha. Who did
Was
Missouri
not
lose
over.
to? Let's get into that.
Okay,
That this is the real sad stuff here.
so the spread tracker is going to be a little bit difficult because they don't always have lines out. I don't know if it's different on the Arkansas books, but we collectively bet on UCF to cover 1.5 runs on Thursday. Don't remember what the score in that one was, but UCF did cover. Of the games we've got so far, Missouri is 0-1 against the spread. They played a tournament in Florida over the weekend, beat Florida A&M by just one, lost to Alabama State by eight, and then rebounded Sunday morning with a 15-3 win over Southern. And then on Tuesday, they played Lindenwood in Columbia and gave up 10 runs to Lindenwood, but did score 14. So I imagine they would have covered whatever spread was available. That's 2 times in 3 games that the Tigers surrendered 10 runs in a game.
Yeah, 10 runs to Lindenwood on a Tuesday is tough, man. Imagine being the media covering that game. Missouri versus Lindenwood on a Tuesday.
I'd be very frustrated if that game produced 24 runs.
Yeah. So that's a look around the SEC. Let's look at the standings real quick. I did want to mention Cohio Aloy currently third in the SEC in batting average. So
You mean five, whatever he's hitting, is only third?
yeah, so we've got the two. There's two guys ahead of him who have less at bats. Brady Piccarelli from Missouri. So already, just not even going to count this one. He's got 7 hits in his 8 at bats. That's actually pretty impressive.
That is impressive.
He's got 7 hits, 2 doubles, 3 homers, driven in 10 runs, and he's only started one of the 3 games he's played in. What?
Why?
I mean, I guess you could say the same thing with Cojillo
Yeah.
Aloy, who has 9 hits and 16 at bats, and then Justin Nadeau from Florida, he's got 6 hits and 10 at bats, only a double though. That's his only extra base hit, so he's got 5 singles.
I believe the Hogs will get to see both of those teams this year, right?
I think so. So, did want to mention some of these SEC standings. So most of your teams remain undefeated. We mentioned A&M's lost 2 games. Mississippi State is 6-2. Missouri 4-4. Your undefeated teams: Bama 9-0, South Carolina 9-0, Florida 8-0, Tennessee, my goodness, they're good, 8-0, Oklahoma 7-0, and then your teams with one loss: Auburn, Georgia, Vandy, Arkansas, LSU, Ole Miss, who is now ranked, Texas, and Kentucky.
So how many SEC teams are in the top 25 now?
Let's just list them off. A&M is 1, number 2 LSU, number 3 Tennessee, number 4 Arkansas, number 6 Georgia, number 8 Florida. So how many is that in the top 10? 7? 6?
Six in the top eight.
6 in the top 8, and then you got Vandy at 14, Texas at 15, Oklahoma at 16, Mississippi State at 18, and Ole Miss at 24.
Count 11 total.
11 of your 16 teams are ranked. And did I say Kentucky? Kentucky's
I
not
don't
even ranked.
remember.
Kentucky's not even ranked. So that's another one. Is Mississippi State is ranked. So yeah, man, the conference is loaded as always. I don't think 9-0 Alabama is ranked either. So gonna be a fun year, Robert.
Always, man.
Good.
People love mid-March because basketball tournament starts. I love mid-March because SEC baseball starts.
Yes. And it should be a fun year. I'm dragging on a little bit here because I feel like there's something else we need to mention, but I don't think there is, man. So that's all I got. Reminder, only one episode a week, so we'll be with you sometime midweek next week, similar to this week, to recap the Charlotte series and then talk about the midweeks against Louisiana Monroe and then preview the series against Portland. So anything else to add on this podcast, Mr. Robert Stewart? Oh, Heston Kerstad homered in spring training.
He did. Will he get more opportunity in Baltimore this year now that Anthony Santander is out of the picture? Remains to be seen.
Yeah.
He did go oppo, by the way. Wasn't just any home run.
Yeah. He's embracing his inner Vahava Aloy.
Yeah.
Oh, we do need to mention this. I think we're doing this, Robert, our award, our podcast award, the Hagen Smith Worst Quote of the Year award. Currently, a battle between Vahava Aloy and Cojillo Aloy, who just like to say all they want to do is hit the ball hard. And every time you ask Cojillo Aloy, so like, what's it like going up there and just like your mindset? And he's like, I don't really think, man. I just try to hit the baseball.
Yeah, soft-spoken guys really latch onto their cliches, and you got to know them, you got to use them, as Crash Davis says in Bull Durham. So, they were definitely both kind of tough to talk to, but as long as they're going up there raking, I suppose it doesn't matter to fans, does it?
No, it definitely doesn't matter to fans. This is only a problem for us. But we'll just go ahead and put them on the Hagen Smith Worst Quote of the Year early season watch list, Cahuillo Aloy and Vejeva Aloy. So congratulations to those two on making the cut. All right.
I still think you're sleeping on Jackson Wiggins, man.
Yeah, but Jackson Wiggins isn't on the team anymore.
No, I mean for the
Oh, you're
name of the award.
Oh, yes. Well, I mean, we can double name it. We can call it like the Wiggins Smith.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing about college athletics is that everything's hyphenated anyway, right?
Okay, then we'll call it the Wiggins Smith worst quoted, like Bum Walker.
Yeah, exactly.
Wiggins Smith worst quote of the year award presented by Hogbeat.com.
There you go.
Your early season watch list. Okay. Thank you everybody for listening to the Diamond Hawks podcast. Appreciate you, Robert, for taking time out of your day. We'll be with you next week to recap the series against Charlotte and to preview the next games upcoming for your Diamond Hogs. So thank you for listening. Check out hogbeat.com, and we'll be with you next week.
You've been listening to the Diamond Hogs podcast. Follow the guys on Twitter at Choate Mason and at DRStu32.